to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that women in business are dabbling in between, you know, bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are out there making a difference. And you know, as you've been following this journey that I've been on this cross-country trip, I finally got home last night. And I have to tell you, I woke up this morning, wasn't quite sure where I was until I sat up and I was like, oh, I'm home. No wonder I slept so well, because I just got this remarkable night's sleep. But it has been, you know, 7,000 miles and interviewing women for Word of Mom TV across the country. So it's really been fun. But now I am happily back here and sharing today's guest. And I love that we have sisters that are here sharing with us, Nita Sweeney and Amy Eisenbach. Nita Sweeney is the author of Depression Hates a Moving Target, How Running with My Dog Brought Me Back from the Brink. She writes, she runs, she coaches, she lives in Central Ohio with her husband and her biggest fan and her yellow Labrador, Scarlet. She blogs at Bumglue and publishes the email newsletter Right Now Columbus. Amy is the owner of Go Buckeye Fans, and she lives in Somerset with her husband and best friend, George, and their three grandchildren and their dog, Buckeye. There's so much more that you can learn about them, and you can read about more about them on wordofmomradio.com, because Nita's background and the where she has written and everything else is kind of remarkable. But I want to get you both here and sharing your journey together. So Nita and Amy, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thanks so much, Dori. Thanks.
So I'm going to start with you, Nita. What prompted you? What got you to write this book about how running helped with your mental health symptoms?
Well, Dori, that's a great question. I have been running, or I've been writing, rather, for a long time, and I've actually written 10 books, but I haven't published any of them until this one. And the thing that was different about this one was that I started running in 2010, and within a pretty short period of time, people began to notice, you know, not just that I had lost weight, but that I was different emotionally. I could focus. I was getting things done. I was getting out of bed. And they would say things like, did you get your hair cut? Or what's different? You know, they weren't quite sure. If they didn't know I was running, they weren't quite sure what was going on. And so, especially after I ran my first half marathon, I realized that this might be a story that would help other people. And so that's what I think gave it legs as opposed to some of the other things I've written. And so it was more about sharing my journey, but also, you know, thinking that I had an experience that other people might be able to relate to and that it could help them.
You've suffered from depression. So when did it begin? When did you really start noticing the change in it? And how have you coped with it?
I think I've probably been depressed most of my life. As a little kid, you know, part of it, it's kind of sometimes hard to separate personality from mood issues, but I was always the little kid that was kind of in the corner and quiet and either that or I wanted to be, you know, the shiny one. There was no in between. And especially in college, I began to struggle. And then in law school, I did go to law school, and that was really hard. And I started to see, you know, huge mood swings. And then as I worked, I got to a place where it became difficult to just do my job. So it's sort of been with me for a very long time. And I've used all kinds of different things to cope. I am still in therapy. I still take a small amount of medication. But the thing that changed in early, you know, in 2010 is really when I started running, but was getting some exercise, just moving, getting up and getting my kind of my blood pressure up and breaking a sweat. And that has just really transformed things. The other part of it was finding a running group, finding a group of people, because there are still days when I'm not completely sure I want to go out and run, you know, 5 miles, 10 miles, whatever is on the schedule for whatever I'm training for. But I know that these other people are out there and that they're going to show up. And so I show up too. So there's a sense of fellowship. So there's a physical component of the exercise and then the community bit of it, kind of a fellowship. And then I still have professional help. I still have, you know, medical help. I'm very, very fortunate to be able to have good mental health care because not everybody has that.
So with Amy as part of this conversation, what role did she play in your mental health journey?
Well, it's really all her fault that I actually run in public at all. So here's my version of it. In 2007, Amy's daughter, Jamie, died of cancer. She had osteosarcoma. And that was just so traumatic for all of us. I can't put myself in Amy's shoes because I wasn't the mother, but it was just huge, the way it shifted things. And it just, you know, grief is just a big thing. And so when I started running, I made the mistake of telling Amy that I was running, and because I never meant to leave my neighborhood. I never meant really to leave this little ravine that's very secluded by our house, because I was, you know, the voices in my head were, oh, you're fat, you look silly in these clothes, people are going to laugh at you, that kind of stuff. So I mentioned to her because I was so excited because I was feeling better. And I don't know how long it was, a few weeks later, she had been in an organization of support families and for people who had lost their children or who were dealing with, you know, the disease that my niece had died from. And so she said, hey, there's this 5K to raise money for cancer research for the type of cancer that Jamie died from. And I went, oh, no, I'm a private runner. No. And eventually I got over myself. You know, I'm a bit self-centered sometimes. And I got over myself and we did that 5K. So that was probably the biggest thing, is that I would not be running in public. I would never have done the races I've done if not for my sister. So
Amy, I'm going to ask you, and I can't even imagine my deepest sympathy for the loss of
you.
Your daughter. How has this impacted you? And how have you even begun to cope with it? Because I'm sure it's a daily thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, seeing me to change and to be able to do all that she's doing, not only to write and complete the book and send out all the queries to get it promoted, get it published, has been amazing. Because there was a point where she wouldn't go in a grocery store at all, let alone do much else other than leave the house occasionally. So just watching the transformation has been really a miracle for sure.
How has Nita's depression, you know, with you as you know, a sister, how has that impacted your relationship?
Well, that's made us much closer because I suffer from depression too, of course, and we can, you know, commiserate and encourage each other and share how we're really feeling that day on an individual basis. And we understand each other, you know, better than someone else who might not suffer from the disease.
You know, Nita, you write about Jamie's daughter, and how has it impacted you? in your relationship?
You mean losing Jamie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have, several nieces and nephews, and because of mostly geography, I was closest to Jamie. I personally never wanted to have children, and so Jamie was probably the closest thing to a child that I would have had. I don't know how to describe it. It's like that thing where the world is sort of turned upside down because we're all supposed to go first. The younger people are supposed to live on beyond us. And there was just something very jarring beyond. I mean, losing her alone was horrible. And then beyond that, there was this sense that nothing is right with the world because of the order being disrupted. I watched Amy after Jamie died. She kind of had to do a kind of a cocoon thing. And then she would talk about how she wrote every night. She would write to Jamie every night after Jamie died. And that kind of gave me hope. It gave me this feeling like, okay, somehow my sister is walking through this. I don't know how. I still am amazed. And because it's just, I know how shaken I was, and I just can't imagine, what that must still be like for her. But like she said, we've grown so much closer. I was the little sister, so I was probably always in her hair, but we've been close most of our life, but since that happened, it's really drawn us closer.
I know this is a little off topic, but it's something that we've talked about a lot, especially every second Friday we do a Moms After Dark from 10 to midnight, which is just kind of a free-for-all show. But you mentioned that you never wanted to have kids. You chose not to. We were just talking about how women have to defend that choice. Isn't it remarkable?
Yes, I do.
Nobody ever says to a man, oh, you decided not to have kids, or, isn't it? It's amazing that in 2019, women still have to defend the choice not to have kids.
Yeah, I feel like I'm stuttering a little bit here, but that's exactly it, is me thinking, how do I explain this? And men don't have to.
Right.
It was very clear to me in my 20s that I could barely take care of myself. And so the thought of trying to take care of, a daughter or a son, it was just overwhelming. And so, so that's sort of how I got to it. But you're right. It is nuts that we do have to. And that's like the first thing somebody new will ask you is, do you have children? Do you and your husband have children? And I always say, my husband has two sons, because they were grown before we got married. But it's kind of crazy that we still have to, in 2019, we have to have that conversation.
Right. Like I said, I know it's a little off topic, but.
It's fine. It's a great question.
Because I have several female friends. A lot of the women that I knew made the conscious choice that, they loved to travel. They wanted to be the cool aunt, but they didn't want. And it's amazing how you have to defend that choice,
Right.
But, okay, so back to, the actual topic here.
It's really okay, Dori. It's all really good. That's an excellent conversation.
But you know what? Part of your choice was hinged on your depression. As you said, that you were having a hard enough time taking care of yourself. Imagine trying to take care of someone else. So, that's a healthy choice to make, and actually showed how strong you are. In understanding that you were dealing with something that was really tough, and that this was the best way for you to deal with it. So I actually applaud that you were so crystal clear in that. I truly do.
I joke sometimes that it's as if my biological clock never went off. because I don't have that same kind of longing that a lot of women have, or men too, actually have that. But, you know, with women, it's a, more of a biological thing. And it just, that longing. And also, you know, knowing that I could be with my nieces and nephews. And then eventually I did get, you know, I got married to a man who had children. They were grown, but still now I have grandchildren. So.
But on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Thank our fabulous sponsors, hear from them, and then we'll be back with Amy Eisenbach, Nita Sweetie, as we are talking about depression, hate, a moving target. So we'll be right back here on Word of Mom Radio.
As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from stadiumbags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium size backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready to go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at stadiumbags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio with Nita Sweeney, the author of Depression Hates a Moving Target, How Running with My Dog Brought Me Back from the Brink. And she's here with her sister, Amy Eisenbach. And Amy, I want to ask you, what was the biggest change you saw in Nita since she started running?
Her ability now to go out to different states, different cities, places she's never been to before, and market her book, just amazing. She, there were times when she could hardly drive before she started running, and now she's just like a different person. The transformation has been amazing to watch.
You know, how wonderful that it has been so transformative. You know, Nita,
right.
You also talk about mindful meditation. How has it helped you with your writing and your running and the mental health issues that you've had to deal with?
Well, I find it as another tool kind of in the toolkit. I've been practicing meditation for a long time, and I'm drawn to the mindfulness technique because it helps me stay in the moment. And one of the symptoms of my bipolar disorder, because I that's what eventually I was diagnosed with, bipolar 2, which is the it's the lesser of the two, but it's not the one you usually hear about. It's the different mood swings, more rapid mood swings. And one of the symptoms is that my mind races. I get way ahead of myself. I project into the future. And so with mindfulness, it's a practice, actual skill set that I've learned to try to bring my mind back into the present. The problem was that with the depression being so bad, I had trouble even practicing the techniques. And it's just like any other skill, you have to practice to get better. So we would go to these retreats. My husband and I would go to silent retreats sometimes, and I would sit there and my mind would just race. And I would try to practice the techniques. I would talk to the teacher about it and try to practice the techniques. And I was on medication and that helped, but there's something about the running that has helped that calm my mind down. So now I perform the mindfulness techniques while I'm running. And so I'll be running in a group. Sometimes I was just talking to somebody else about this, and I'll hear somebody say, oh, I'm so bored, tell me a story, or, oh, I hate this playlist because I've heard it before, or something like that. And I realized when I heard someone say that just the other day that I was busy practicing my mindfulness. So I was observing my body sensations. I was noticing my environment. I was, you know, smelling the air, listening to sounds, birds, leaves, things like that. And so I was completely okay. I wasn't bored at all. And so it's really been helpful in a lot of different areas. With writing, I incorporate it more as a way to bypass the inner critic. I have studied for a long time with a woman named Natalie Goldberg, and she coined the term writing practice. She kind of created this technique that combines the principles of meditation with writing. And I use that to get beyond that voice that says, you have nothing to say, nobody's interested, this is stupid. You know, the same negative tapes that actually, you know, permeate most of my life. So I use those techniques and to try to be able to write.
Having the opportunity to work with someone like Natalie Goldberg, how has that impacted your writing?
Oh, it was very interesting. She's kind of an amazing woman because she has she did this thing in the 80s before anybody had thought of it. You know, most of the writing that people did, or the teaching people did, was more about grammar, punctuation, structure, and she broke that open. And so she was the first writing instructor who gave me the permission to just be me on the page, and then she taught us how to do that. How do I explain it? So after I had gone to two of her workshops, I convinced my husband, who he had just finished a project. He was working for himself, and he just finished a project, and he was either going to have to find a new project or get a real job. So I convinced him to move to New Mexico so I could just take all her workshops without having to fly out there. And he's always game for an adventure. So off we went. We sold all our stuff and went to New Mexico. And so I actually got Amy's laughing. She's like, yeah, they were all rolling their eyes. And we came back 2 years later. But actually to be in the same town with her, and for a while she sort of wondered, why is this woman here? But eventually I got to be in meditation group with her, you know, did some retreats with her. And then I was always taking her workshops. And eventually I got to assist her. I was her assistant for about 9 years and, you know, as a volunteer, but I got to work closely with her. So it just felt like I was in the influence of somebody who knew how to do the thing I wanted to do. And it's sort of like a mentorship without it being formal, because I would observe what she did, how she wrote, her schedules, things like that. And that helped me develop what worked for me, because sometimes what worked for her would not work for me. But it watching her do her thing helped me figure out what I needed to do to create, you know, my own writing structure. And then, of course, she was a meditator, so there was that whole piece of it, too. So it was a lot of common ground. And she had run, which was interesting. I had forgotten about that until I started writing about running. And I remembered that there was a chapter in one of her books about running. But she's a big hiker. She loves to hike. So the whole exercise component, the importance of movement, has always been there with her, too. So yeah, she's just been a great influence and a huge supporter. She's been so excited about my book coming out, and she gave me a great blurb. Turn the book over on the back. It's Natalie Goldberg blurb. And, you know, so she's just been a big, kind of a big cheerleader for me too. And that's, I just feel so fortunate to have made that connection, because it's been very important in my life.
You talk about in your website that you drafted 10 books. You mentioned it at the start of the show here, but you've only published one. So how has Press depression, Hate's a Moving Target, differ from these other books that you've, you know, finally published it?
Well, I want to say that it's because it's a much better book, because I had you know, written for so many years that I learned kind of what I was doing. But I also think a big part of it was timing, because the awareness about mental health issues is coming, you know, to the fore. You read so much more about it. There's so much more awareness. And so I think it was good timing. The publisher that I have, Mango Publishing, they've been amazing, is a relatively new publisher. And they take on projects that other publishers might not. So it was sort of the kind of thing where I was ready, the world was ready, and this publisher appeared who was also ready, who was the right one for me. And I really believe that it was just the right time. I used to just lament, oh, was I ever going to get a book published? Would this ever happen? And I had tried to get a previous book about the last year my father was alive published, and I gave up pretty quickly, and I didn't get a great reception to it. But this book has been much different. Even though I had to do a ton of pitching to get the publisher, I still was getting good responses very early on. And that was a very different experience. So I just feel like the book in general is just a different, I'm in a different place in my life. And the audience was more ready to hear this. And again, I found this publisher who was willing, who kind of saw the vision, especially my editor, Brenda Knight. She's just been amazing. And she could see, like, the vision of what it could be. So it's like it all came together.
I love hearing that. As we're wrapping up, you know, I didn't mention that Amy owns an eBay store, Go Buckeye Fans, where she sells Ohio State University-themed merchandise and vintage glassware. And so as we're wrapping up, I want you both to let everybody know how they can find you and reach out to you. And there'll be all the links will be on wordofmomradio.com as well.
Well, if you go on eBay and search under stores and just search for Go Buckeye Fans, plural, it'll bring up my store. You can also just Google Amy Axe, and I think it'll send you a link to that way too. It's a fun little hobby that I do. I say it's... if it pays for our football tickets, it's a success.
There you go. And Nita, let everybody know how they can find you.
The best way is through my website. It's nitasweeney.com, nitasweeney.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Pinterest under my name, Nita Sweeney. You can just Google Nita Sweeney. My name is unusual enough that it just comes up, and I hope to hear from some people. That would be great.
I hope so, too. So, Nita, Amy, thank you so much for sharing here in our Author's Alley. It's kind of a combined Author's Alley and our Healthy Habits show, because Wednesday is our rotating platforms, and you kind of hit both, and I thank you so much for reaching out and sharing your journey with us. So for all of us here on Word of Mom Radio, see, I was out filming for the TV show for so long, I'm in that frame. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass, She Is You. So on behalf of everyone here at the Word of Mom Media Network, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure. She is strong.